How did both parties become the parties of war in the United States? Well, Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio has some wonderful insight on that. He used to be a major face of the Democratic Party, but now is running for Congress again in Ohio as an independent. So thank you, Congressman, for joining me. This is my first time interviewing you, and it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate this opportunity to be on Redacted.
Thank you. So why did you decide to break ties with the Democratic Party and run as an independent?
Well, first of all, I've always been independent in my approach. Parties are often exemplars of groupthink.
Yes.
And I don't do groupthink. You know, to me, intellectual integrity requires independent analysis of what's going on. And just because you have maybe 200 people who will agree on something doesn't mean that there can't be another point of view. I mean, that's essentially what America is supposed to be all about, a diversity of opinions. And so to me, it's a matter of intellectual integrity. It's a matter of being able to get facts on your own. I mean, that's what I did. And when I came to the conclusion that America had no reason to go to war against Iraq. And if anyone goes to the web and searches for Kucinich Iraq analysis, October 2nd, 2002, what they'll see is a detailed analysis that I did based on a readily ascertainable information that ran contrary to the established narrative that, well, Iraq is somehow kind of a threat and was responsible for 9/11 and all that stuff. I saw something different. And so that independence of thought right now is needed in a country which is so severely polarized. And if you have polarization occurring between two groupthink models, the country merges into chaos and into the dictates of a uniparty, and no one knows who's, you know, handling the strings.
Right, exactly right. And so your anti-war voice, it fit just fine in the early 2000s inside the Democratic Party, but it doesn't anymore. So I would love your perspective, Congressman, on how the Democratic Party is no longer the anti-war party. And in fact, they bang the war drums even louder, I would say, than most.
No, you're right about that. And, you know, this campaign, by the way, is not one that is established to distinguish itself from the Democrats or the Republicans. Those are two facts. We have a Democratic Party and Republican Party. What I'm proposing is a point of view that goes above partisanship, country above partisanship, and that puts us in a position where we can analyze things independently in the best interest of the American people. What's happened, I think, with the Democratic Party in the last decade is a desire to coalesce around a narrative that has always been based on a fiction. And the fiction is that we are in a world where we have to conquer certain enemies. The party in 2016 built this whole narrative around Russia being responsible for Donald Trump's election. And then in order to continue to justify that narrative, it elided from, well, Trump and Russia to Russia, Ukraine, Russia. And this whole, you know, you have narratives that are moving one into another that leaves us now on the doorstep of Western Russia with the possibility of escalation into a nuclear confrontation. So in the Democratic Party, which, you know, when I was active within it, I tried to see it as a possibility for being an exponent of the peace. It's not there anymore. And I think part of it is the partisan thinking that went reactionary and rancid. And the other one is a desire to go with an incumbent, because I'll tell you, that is a very strong impulse within political parties to back the incumbent president of your party. And the Democrats have got caught in that several times to the disadvantage of the American people.
Now, your opponent in the upcoming election is one of the biggest warmongers I've seen in a long time. We covered one of the bills he submitted to allow military recruiters into schools. Representative Matt Miller, he sort of launched that one furtively in order to continue to build out the military-industrial complex. Now he sponsored a bill to extend American military benefits to Israeli soldiers. You would think he'd be easy to defeat if you could just get the American populace attention and say, this guy wants war, I don't. Can you speak to that?
Well, first of all, you know, let me get to a question that should be preliminary, and that is this an election that I can win?
Okay, yeah.
And then I can tell you how. I represented almost half of this district for 16 years before I was redistricted out by Democrats in Columbus. A new district was formed in the last year, which contained about half of my old district and a county south of Cuyahoga County, which I represented, contains a lot of people who used to live in my constituency. So this is a district I can win because I've won it over and over again. I defeated a Republican incumbent to get elected to Congress. I defeated a Republican incumbent to get elected to the Ohio Senate. So I do well with Republican voters. Why? Because I'm a straight shooter. I'm someone who has common sense. I look at things and make my decisions based on, you know, what's right for my constituents, not what is right for a political party. So I have the name recognition, and there's good feeling out there for the work that I've done over the years. Yes, I can win. Now, let's talk about Mr. Miller. He is somebody without a lot of political experience. He worked in the Trump White House for a while, and that became his springboard with the help of President Trump to get into a congressional seat in an area that he had little in common with. So he is, as you describe, somebody who appears to be a real fan of war. Mm-hmm. When you don't have a lot of experience in politics, it's real easy to endorse war as a hypothetical construct. But when you come to see the effects of it, talk to people who are in it, see the human casualties, see the long-term impact, to see the effect on American taxpayers, you start to look at it in a different way. And Mr. Miller now has so departed from his constitutional duty to protect our country that he is now advocating that we give you U.S. military service benefits to somebody fighting for another country. And, you know, just in time for Memorial Day, I might add.
Right.
So you have to ask, who's he represent? And that's a question I'm going to be asking repeatedly in this election. Because to me, people, I haven't had enough of these endless wars. They've had enough of the destructive undermining of the Constitution, which is always attendant with wars, especially when we're kept in a constant state of emergency by one president after another. Congress diminishes its authority as an Article I constitutional creation. Suddenly, Article II, the executive, becomes ever more powerful. I'm telling you, this is a serious moment in American history. And those who would aspire to represent the people have to rise to the challenge. And those who are like Mr. Miller, basically clueless about what's confronting the American people and the nation at this moment, need to step aside so that some people who are serious about the work of governance can move forward.
Right. Now, one thing that you and I have in common is sort of disillusionment from the Democratic Party. And what I see for a lot of people like me who see this neo-illiberal movement and then feel like, well, then where do I go? I'm politically homeless. Some people then glob on to the Republican Party, only to realize they don't seem to have the answers either. So can you speak to that sort of rejection of one party, but then unwillingness to look to the other party for answers, and what it means for you and I both now to be politically homeless?
Well, first of all, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his essay on self-reliance, wrote, "Above all, to thine own self be true. Every heart vibrates to that iron string." Self-reliance is a key factor in our lives. We have to make decisions based on what we know is best for ourselves. Emerson went on to say that believe that what is true for you could be true for others as well. So we have commonalities as American citizens, which we don't always recognize. But because our country's political process has two straitjackets, one called the Democratic Party, the other one called the Republican Party, we think that that's our only choice. And those who find themselves, as you say, homeless right now, well, home has to be the heart. The heart is the heart of America, a commitment to nation, putting country above party. That's what my candidacy is about. I'm saying that, you know, I might agree with the Democrats one day, with the Republicans on another. But to me, it's about the country. And when you start to get into the partisanship, what do you end up with? You end up with dichotomized thinking, us versus them, whoever they are. And that, frankly, is a precursor to war.
Yeah.
And so what I advocate is an independence of thought. I mean, you think every July the 4th, we celebrate our Declaration of Independence. Was that simply a document for a nation? No, it was it had a way of resonating through the hearts, the souls, the spirit of the nation, to where we're independent, where we think for ourselves. And that capacity has been weakened. And it's a capacity that I will bring back to Congress as somebody who can help reconcile differences and point the way to what's right for America. Think about this just for a moment. I could actually end up being the only independent in a closely divided Congress. Think 217 Democrats, 217 Republicans, and one independent, me. I know how to help our nation and my constituents be advantaged and start a new kind of impulse within the country towards independence of thought and towards a feeling of comity, of friendship between people, as opposed to this constantly hammering about partisanship.
Yes.
As if there's only one way to think.
Well, when the rest of us get dark about how there's no beating either party because they're so entrenched, we can see hope in your candidacy. This is my opinion on the matter. Because if anybody can win as an independent is someone with your seniority and experience. And so it's possible that it only takes one, someone as entrenched as you, to open the door for other independents. So do you see yourself as a trailblazer in this way?
Well, certainly that can be a factor. You know, one of the persons who inspired me in my politics was Senator Robert F. Kennedy. He ran for president in 1968. And when he was campaigning, prior to being in the States campaigning, he visited Cape Town, South Africa, and students there were asking him, you know, how in the world can you, white guy from New York, tell us that our situation with apartheid is ever going to be any different? How can you say this? Here's what he said to them. He said that each time a man or woman stands up for an ideal, acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he or she sends forth the tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples can create a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. Can one person make a difference? Of course. And in some ways, only one person can make a difference. Each one of us in our lives, at one time or another, are called forward to make a difference. And we have to have the belief, the courage, in our capacity to do that and not be afraid. Because if there's one thing we have to break through in this country right now, it's the constant fear-mongering, which is freezing people into inaction. And, you know, the word courage is the root of it is a French word, core, heart. And so we have to find that strength in our heart, which I frankly think is a gift that we received when our country was formed. And now we have to reclaim it.
Right. Yes. Well, I wish you luck in your candidacy. Please come back on Redacted and tell us how it's going. And yes, like I said, I love to see the spark of an independent thought. So thank you for coming on Redacted and telling us all about it. It was a pleasure to speak to you for the first time, sir.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you again. And the website is Kucinich.com.
Kucinich.com. We got it.
Thank you so much.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.